Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You may be seated. Moses' mother was the poster child for motherhood. Jochebed was an amazing mother. She had to camouflage her motherhood and not let them know that she was Moses' mother. And she was hired by the court of Pharaoh just to be his nurse. And they didn't realize that she was his mother. I know it's tough to be a mother in America in 2017. The entertainment attraction is mind-boggling, and that entertainment is not productive but non-productive. It's tough. You're battling with television, movies, peer pressure, all sorts of things that preceding generation, my mother, didn't have to face. That's the reason why it turned out so dadgum good. Seriously, 50 years ago, it had its own challenges, but not the challenges that we have in 2017. But there's nobody that had greater challenges than Moses' mother, because what was offered to him, he was adopted and was offered the greatest wealth in the world. It would be like you when you were 7 years of age and you had full intellect, and they said, do you want to be raised by whoever, or do you want to be Bill Gates' son and have everything in the world, billions of dollars? All of that was offered to Moses. She was able to instill in him a love for God in an Egyptian society that was opposed to Jehovah. And she was able to make him understand that all that glitters, the gold of this world, is pale in comparison to the virtues and the blessings of God. And the key phrase is, when he was come 2 years, that means when he grew up, when he became 18 years old, when he became 20 years old, he refused to be a billionaire's grandson and a billionaire's son. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He identified not with the people that raised him, but he identified with his biological family. They were slaves. He chose to be a slave rather than a descendant of the slave owner. Jochebed, his mother, had an amazing ability to teach, to instill in him to make that right decision. That's what every father and every mother should be wanting to do, is that is to instill in their child the ability to make the right decisions concerning life and eternal life. That's what she did. But this is not my subject. It's just somewhere for me to jump off, because I want to borrow the phrase from the 26th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Christianity is not blasé. People like to make it that way. It's just take it or leave it. Yes, I'm a Christian. I saw on Facebook a man arguing with a Muslim And he said, I'm a blankety-blank Christian, and you're not coming into our country. He doesn't even understand what Christianity is about, but he has developed this hatred based on a religion that he doesn't even understand against another religion that he hates that he also doesn't understand. Has nothing to do with God whatsoever. There are so many people in this world that call themselves Christian, but it's a blasé Christianity. It's a take it or leave it. It's something that is way down on the list. If it's not number one, you're not a Christian. All through the Bible, Old Testament and New, the main basis of a relationship with God is that the Lord is number one in your life. And number two means he's not God at all. Number three means you don't have a relationship with him. Number four, you're not even in the ball game. God has to be the first thing in your life, the priority of your life. Moses had that down pat. He rejected billions of dollars and worldwide fame to declare himself a slave because of his understanding of who God was and a relationship with God. So Christianity cannot be blasé. This new message that I hear preached on television that they call the gospel of grace is not really the gospel. It's another gospel. The Apostle Paul said there will be another gospel in the last days. There will be another Christ. There will be another Holy Spirit in the last days. And we have to make ourselves alert that that doesn't happen to us, that we buy into a false gospel, a false Christ, and a false Holy Spirit. You say, how do we keep from that? That's the reason why you know the Word of God. Search the Word of God. That you be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Not blown about by the wind of every doctrine, but you know what is written. Christianity is a feeling, but beyond a feeling, it is a valid contract. It's the Word of God. And so grace is not God ignoring our sin. Well, we're just the favorite of God and God ignores our sin. No, there's a whole process where our sin is bought and paid for. And without that process, you're still lost. Grace is not God ignoring our sin or pretending we are sinless. It's not a license to sin, grace is not. I'll tell you what it is. It's a license or a permit to become righteous. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. And so when we talk about this reproach of Christ, the Bible uses that phrase in regards to Moses, even though it was thousands of years before Christ was to be born. Because the Bible said Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. Christ was, is, and always will be. And so Christ is the one that we worship, the one that died in our place. God never died. It was the Son of God that died. God cannot die. But it was Christ, the Son of God, that died. Jesus Christ occupied both roles as God and the Son of God. It was only the Son of God that died. And so when we talk about the reproach, the Bible talks about that often, the reproach. I preached a few months ago about the stumbling block of Christ. The Bible refers to Christ as a stumbling block. Something that causes people to stumble. They can't get over him because they want to do it their way. There is a way that seemeth right in a man, the end thereof is death. Christ is either the rock that you find yourself standing on that protects you from the storms of life and the floods of the enemy, or he is the stumbling block that offends you. And you say, well, if it takes that, and there's a lot of people that, if it takes that preacher, I'm just going to go to hell. That is a choice that you can make. But I have fallen in love with Jesus Christ. Not only have I fallen in love with him as a stumbling block, but I, like Moses, esteem the reproach of Christ. Let's talk now more about a Christmas message. Let's talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke 1:28. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. But the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. People don't know it, but that's what every Christmas tree is saying, just what I've read to you. That's what every gift opened by Christian, Muslim, unbeliever, atheist, agnostic, they're all testifying to the Christ that I have just read to you. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest and overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called. So this is the Christmas story that Mary, that never knew a man, she was engaged, espoused, the Bible uses that word, to Joseph. But the immorality that we accept as just commonplace was not prevalent among normal people in these New Testament times. Very few babies born out of wedlock. People just didn't sleep around like they do now. It was a different time. And so Mary was a virgin, a godly young girl, espoused to Moses or to Joseph, a normal Hebrew girl, living life, loving God to the best of her knowledge, and an angel appeared to her and said, you are highly favored, and you're going to be blessed, but you're going to conceive without knowing a man, and you are going to bring to this earth the Son of God. You talk about a mind-boggling experience for a young girl. It was just that. She was a special young lady. But the angel said, you are highly favored and blessed of the Lord. I suppose all Christians, Catholic, all Protestants, I would assume that this would be a goal for all of us, to be favored of the Lord and blessed of God. I can't speak for the Catholics. I can't even speak for the Church of Christ. But I can speak for the charismatic movement and tell you that that is the number two goal. The two number one things, I guess I should say it that way, for the charismatic movement. We want the favor of God. How many sermons have been preached on the favor of the Lord and the blessing of God? Countless hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of sermons, particularly in the last two or three decades, have been preached on that. Everybody wants to be favored and blessed of the Lord. But there is a little sidebar to this. Her fiancé, Joseph, was a remarkable young man, put in a very difficult place. He knew he had not been with Mary. He had enough faith in her character to know that she had not been with anyone else. He is asked to strain his logical mind with this understanding that God himself has planted a seed, in this young woman, and she is now pregnant with the Son of God. I am sure that's not something that he understood readily. It's never happened before in the history of mankind. Never happened before in the world. You understand that the Holy Ghost dealt with Mary. And how many can testify here tonight that the Holy Ghost can change your mind? The Holy Ghost can explain things that you used to not understand. The Holy Ghost can change your temperament. The Holy Ghost can change your attitude. The Holy Ghost can change your faith. You can believe things for things now that 20 years ago when you were not saved, you would not have even thought about embracing. But the Holy Ghost has done a work on you. And so Mary had that advantage. The Holy Ghost worked on her. But poor little Joseph, he's just the victim of a circumstance. The Holy Ghost has not done the work on him. And so this is what he suggested. He said, Mary, it's unthinkable for a young woman in these days of Hebrew people to be pregnant and not married. And I love you dearly. I don't question your testimony that you are pregnant from God without knowing a man. But ain't nobody else gonna believe this story. And I love you. And I do not want you to be humiliated. And I don't want you to be embarrassed. And so this is my suggestion, that we annul our engagement and that you go to a distant place and have that child. There was no abortion at this time. And then after the child is born, something can be decided. But that way I will save you from the embarrassment and the reproach of what God has called you to do. But Mary had the spirit that Jochebed had. She had the spirit that Moses had and said, this is of God. And regardless of the high cost and the great price, I will endure. I will endure the reproach. Not only will I endure the reproach, I will esteem the reproach that I have been called out to bear the Son of God. One in millions, one in a lifetime, one in a generation, one in a world population. It's going to be tough. It's going to be embarrassment. There's going to be reproach on me and my mama and my daddy and my family. But I would not miss this occasion for all the reproach in the world. It simply doesn't matter. I will accept the humiliation to be obedient to God. Remember this. Everybody wants favor. And everybody wants blessing, but nobody wants reproach. But reproach is the third sister in this trio. It's the third rail that the destiny of God runs on. God's promised every one of us that we can have favor that the world will never know. We can be blessed coming in and going out. We can be blessed until we overflow. But these two things cannot happen unless we have an esteem for the reproach that will come with what God's called us to be. When I talked about Christianity being blasé in America, it's more acceptable to be Christian than it is anything else. If you are an atheist, you are the odd man out. If you're an agnostic, you're on the short end of the stick. If you're a Muslim, you're not as popular as Christianity. Christianity is well accepted in America, but it's a different kind of Christianity. It's the one that seeks the blessing. It's the one that seeks the favor, but rejects all of the embarrassment and all of the reproach. Friend, I'm telling you that that is a fake Christianity, a false Christianity. The Christianity that brings not only eternal results, but brings daily bread, is one that says, I thank God for His favor, and I thank God for His blessing. But not only will I endure the reproach, I will esteem the reproach. Praise God. And so we're living in a society that says you can be a Christian as long as you're a blasé Christian. But if you take it too far, you are going to suffer the real reproach of America. But I say, as George W. Bush would say, bring it on. I have not only accepted that I will be reproached for the Christianity that I have embraced, because it's not a Christianity that was invented in the Vatican or Springfield, Missouri, but it is a Christianity that leaps from the pages of God's Word, where every Christian from the Old Testament to the New Testament is one that bore the reproach of being a Christ follower. But friend, I can tell you that it brings dividends into your life that all you can do is praise God for. The Jesus' birth defies the law of natural reproduction. And anything that defies logic or the norm is subject to reproach. Jesus' birth, it defies the law of reproduction. And even many Christians will tell you, I believe that Christ is the Savior. I believe He's a rabbi. I believe He's a teacher. But I don't quite buy the virgin birth theory. The Catholic Church does. Man, I'm PRing for the Catholic Church tonight. Somebody take this down and give it to the Archbishop. Maybe they'll let me preach downtown in one of the Catholic churches. But there are some wonderful things about the Catholic Church. They believe in the virgin birth. You have to believe in the virgin birth to go to heaven. I hope that doesn't scare you away, but you do. You can't believe that Jesus was a nice guy with a good motive and a great work ethic. You have to believe He's the Son of God, that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and Jesus Christ is the product of that union. You must believe that, but that defies the laws of natural reproduction. The premise that there's only one way to heaven defies the logic, and you will suffer great reproach if you will tell people that I believe every way is a road that leads to heaven. I'm an amazing fan of Oprah Winfrey, just what she's done in life. I can admire people and their accomplishments without agreeing everything they say. And when Oprah said, raised a Baptist, when she said, I believe every road leads to heaven, that's a wonderful thought. But it simply defies everything the Bible teaches. It makes Jesus a liar. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's all right for you to embrace your superstars in this world, but don't let them be the person that decides what you believe. The Bible said, let every man decide for himself. Search the Scripture. And friend, I have a lot of people in my life that I admire, but they ain't nobody. They ain't nobody that gets between me and Jesus. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Ain't nobody. Not my mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister, my favorite singer, my favorite movie star, my favorite dancer, my favorite ball player, my favorite preacher. Ain't nobody getting between me and Jesus. Because I believe He is the way and the only way. But it defies logic to believe that all of these ways could be wrong and the way of Christ could be right. And so if you espouse that, you will suffer reproach. But I esteem the reproach. So you think you're the only one right? No, I think Jesus is the only one right. And I'm following Him. Tongues defies logic, that a human being would get so inundated, baptized, overwhelmed, filled up, overwhelmed, filled, overflowing, few infused with the power of God until you no longer care or try to speak in Spanish or English, your known language, but you simply give yourself over and out of your belly comes a living river and you speak in glossolalia, a tongue that you never learned in school, and you recognize that that is a language that comes from God and flows from you and goes straight to the ear of the Father, and that becomes one of your doctrinal dogmas, and you say, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I spoke with tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Friend, if you believe that, you will be reproached by nice people. You will be reproached by some fellow Christians. You will be reproached by scientists. I read a study years ago, and I refreshed myself about a month ago about a study that was orchestrated in a hospital in Minneapolis, and they studied people that were speaking in tongues in the Holy Spirit, and they were so amazed that the heartbeat did not speed up, but it slowed down. And it says it seems that these people are entering into some kind of a restful state. Now, that's what the doctors concocted and concluded. But years ago, Isaiah said, this is the rest wherewith I will cause the weary to rest. But if you buy into that theory, you're going to have a mother-in-law that's going to look askance at you. You're going to have somebody on your job that's going to say, he's a nice guy, but he speaks in tongues. When I was starting this church, we had a principal of a high school in one of the small cities south of San Antonio. He was the quietest Pentecostal I've ever seen, not just at work, at church. He just sat there like a bump on a dill pickle. You know, I want everybody to be excited about this thing. I want all of you to wave your hands and holler out and dance. I wish everybody could run like Brother Lauren. I wish everybody could shout like Brother Burke. But some of you just ain't going to do that. As much as I want you to do that, I'm not doubting your Christianity. This guy was one of the finest Christians I ever saw. He never, ever did anything in church. He just sat there and stared. But he loved God with all of his heart, and he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so he told me this story. He said there was a young Baptist girl in the little town where he was on the school board and was the superintendent, actually. And he said, they told us, she was one of our teachers, that she had gone down to a little Pentecostal church on the south side, and she had received that crazy gift, they call it, and she had spoken with tongues. And so in the school board, they said, we can't have that in our school system. We've got to be very careful how we do this, but we've got to find a way to fire her. And if they found out we fired her because of religion, we could be sued. It can't leave this room. Now, Ben is the superintendent of the school board, and he's got the Holy Ghost baptism. And he just sits there and lets everybody denounce her. And finally, when it comes to him, they said to him, said, now, Ben, how do we do this? He said, it's going to be really difficult because I'm prepared to leave this room and tell a lawyer everything you've said because I speak with tongues. He said they liked to die. They literally liked to die. And said they apologized and apologized and apologized and said, we won't do anything to her, Ben. We don't understand. It's not that they're mean. It's that they don't understand. But ignorance will reproach the truth. It doesn't mean that they're evil people. It means they do not understand. But friend, I'm prepared to go to horse sales and cattle sales and ecumenical meetings and be the only one in the house that is a tongue talker and not drop my head, because not only do I endure it, I embrace the reproach. And I say, thank God, look what it's done for me. I might not be like the other young girls that's getting married. I might not be like the other teenagers in the Hebrew family. But praise God, I have been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And I not only accept the reproach, I esteem the reproach. And when people see, I've got so many friends that will not come to this church. Outside, people that I do business with. And most of them have been here one time. They've been here one time. They saw enough to know they don't ever want to come back. But they still like me. And they're sweet to me. They just talk about me behind my back. Because some of their friends tell me they talk about me. He's a little crazy about his religion, but he's a good guy. But we went down there and they was running and jumping and waving their hands. I don't know what's going on. So they just put that part of me in a shell by itself. He's got a mental problem where religion is concerned. Outside of that, he's all right. Friend, I not only endure that, I welcome that. Because I can tell you, when the Holy Spirit begins to turn over in my life, in my heart, in my being. Not only will I praise God here, I'll praise God on an airplane. I'll praise God in an automobile. I'll praise God in an elevator. I'll praise God at a cattle sale. I'll praise God riding a horse. I'll praise God on my four-wheeler, because I know that those people that are going to reprove me and reproach me are not going to have anything to do with my salvation. And when that final moment comes, there's only one that I want to please, and his name is Jesus. And so I'm warming up for the resurrection. I'm warming up for the rapture, praise God. And so not only will I endure it, I esteem the reproach. I am a Holy Ghost filled worshiper of the living God. I worship him in song. I worship him in spirit. I worship him in truth. I worship him in the dance. I worship him by clapping hands. I worship him in the dance. I worship him by running through the truth. I worship him by leaping over a wall, because praise God, I am convinced that Jesus Christ is the Creator, that Jesus is the Redeemer, that he is the Savior of my soul, that this world is headed for a payday, and praise God, I am prepared for whatever comes because of the blood of the Lamb, the power of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. And so I say, get on with it. Get on with it. Praise God in the morning. Praise God at noontime. Praise God in the evening time. And if you're related to me, you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm your crazy uncle. I'm your crazy brother-in-law. Hallelujah. I just want to do my job better. That's the reason why you need to be the best employee that your boss has got, because they want to get you fired. And your boss needs to be able to say, don't fool with her. She's the best employee. I know she worships God on the noon hour. I know she says praise God and thank you, Jesus, instead of cursing like most of you do. But she ain't going nowhere. Why? Because she is highly favored and blessed of the Lord, and she esteems the reproach of Christ. Can you give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I depart from the scripture for just a moment? The same people that are asking us, these same people that would reproach us for our experience in Jesus, are asking us to make the greatest leap ever made in logical conclusion. No generation has ever been asked to make the logical leap that they're asking us to make. And that is that a person can change their gender, change their race, and now even species. You no longer have to be a human. One lady identifies as a giraffe. I saw that on television the other day. She's a giraffe. Her neck ain't but that long, folks. She can't be no giraffe, but she says she is. And the United States government is making a place for that departure from logic. And we're supposed to accept that, but they're not going to make a place for me to kneel and pray. They're not going to make a place for me to carry a Bible to work. They're not going to make a place for me to holler hallelujah when things happen well in my life. Oh, friend, you got to put up with me until Jesus comes and gets me. Because no matter where I am, I'm going to be highly favored. I'm going to be blessed. And I am going to esteem the riches of his reproach. Hallelujah. It's the richest thing I have. Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail. Praise God, their praise wasn't gone. They thought they had them subdued. Put them in the jail, in the solitary confinement, in the inner court. Put them in stocks, hands and feet, and said, that's all we'll hear. I've got news for you, Washington. I've got news for you, Paris. I've got news for you, Europe. I've got news for you, Asia. You've got about 1 billion of us on our hands, and we don't sneak around about being Christians, we announce it. We're born again. We're saved. We're washed in the blood. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and we're happy about it. You never know where we're going to go off. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I preached like this in Lufkin, Texas, to a little church of 200 or 300, and there was a little widow woman there. She got so fired up. She got in the grocery store and got to thinking about the sermon the night before, and they had a pyramid of green beans. You ever see them stack those stacks of canned goods? It was as high as a Christmas tree. And that little lady got to thinking about not her husband being dead, not about her Social Security check being small. She got to thinking about, I am highly favored and greatly blessed, and I esteem the reproach of him. And she got to praising God in that grocery store, and praising God she did, until she hit the green beans. They had green beans from one end of that store to another. They said, what happened? Did you pass out? She said, no, I got in the Spirit on the Lord's day like John did on the Isle of Patmos. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know what this is to you. It might be a blasé acceptance of what America's about, but thank God it's not that to me. It's more than my citizenship. It's more than my bank account. It's more than being friends with the world. I have been changed by the power of Almighty God, and I'm blessed coming in and going out. The favor of God hangs on me like ornaments on a Christmas tree. And praise God, I refuse to bow my head and tuck my head and act like I'm embarrassed about my Christianity. I esteem the reproach. Would you stand on your feet and give some God some praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The neurosurgeon Ben Carson, a born-again Christian, recently stated that transgender individuals may identify with the opposite gender, but he stressed that does not change their biological sex. The neurosurgeon turned politician said, it's silly for people to complicate something that we have known for thousands of years. No matter what you call yourself, he said, the markers are there. If you're born a man, you'll stay a man. It doesn't matter what you do to your body. It doesn't matter what you do to your skin. You're still a man. You're still a woman. It's there. You can't change yourself. But they want us to make a space for that and for us to not offer any reproach. But we are reproached because we believe that when we die, we're going to see Jesus. I esteem the reproach of this world. I esteem the reproach of the people that have no answers, because I've got an answer. I esteem the reproach of the people that are suicidal, because I've got joy like a river. I esteem people that are filled with hatred, because the Lord has baptized me with love. I esteem the reproach of Christ. And I say, Jesus, I'm not giving in. I'm not backing down. But even the more so as I see the day of the Lord approaching. And they keep saying, Steve, you can't preach like that and build a church. 10 years ago, a young preacher stood in the pulpit next door and preached that night and explained to me the next day how that this church was antiquated and he was going to another city to build a church by the new methods. And what that really included was he was embarrassed about his Pentecostal experience, and it would not be something that was propagated from his pulpit. That was 10 years ago. 2 weeks ago, he resigned that church because after 10 years in a great metropolitan city, he had less than 50 people, and all of those were already converted when he got there. What are you saying? I'm saying I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And I actually love the reproach. I'm in this world and not of this world. I don't have a gambling habit. I don't have an alcohol problem. I'm not a drug addict.
I'm not involved with fights in my family. I'm not fighting with other people of religious faiths. I'm just loving Jesus. And it's working pretty doggone good for me, folks. I am just convinced that Jesus' way is the only way. And I esteem the reproach of Christ. Say, man, he is a fool. That's all right. I was raised my first decade in a little country church. We had a marvelous pastor. He was a farmer. He was also the principal of the local school. He had a, back in those days, he had a two-year college degree, and you could teach and actually be the principal of the school with that in the 50s. He was a real gentleman. You go to his farm, he's in bib overalls. When he came to church, he always had a suit on. Well-spoken, just a great man. Well-respected in the community. I was 8 years old, and I don't remember his sermon. His name was Hira Bars, H-I-R-A, Hira Bars. What a great guy. But he would just preach and be like a school teacher, just going along there, just so methodical and kind of quiet. And the Holy Ghost would hit him. And when it did, Brother Byers would jump. He was 60-some years. He'd jump, and you could see the top, you could see the bottom of his shoes across the top, just straight up. And he was known throughout that country as Jumping Hira Bars. Well-loved and well-respected in the community. I was 8 years old, just sitting there minding my own business, not saved. But like Jochebed, he made an impression on me. He said, you know what this people of this community think about me? You know what they think about this church? You know what they think about you? And he just kept, you know what they think about? Nobody knew what they thought. Finally, Brother Byers said this. He said, they think we're all out for God, people. And that's all I want people to think about me. They don't have to approve. They can laugh. They can make fun. But I want them to know I'm all out for God. I'm all out for God. 60 years from the time I heard that statement, I still remember it. And I'm all out for God. I'm a holy roller. I'm a tongue talker. I'm a Jesus freak. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a fanatic. You just name every kind of insult that they want to label against Christians. I fit. And not only do I fit, give me a pin and I'll wear it. Because I esteem the riches of Christ. And they call it reproach, and I call it reward. Would you lift your hands and give God some praise tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, let us in this day that we are living in get so on fire for God that the hungry will come to see what's happening. Because there's billions of people on planet Earth that are hungry and helpless and clueless, and they're looking for an answer. A dead church, a compromising Christian will not save them. God, let us be on fire of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody in this house on this near Christmas Eve that would like to just step out and say, Pastor, I'd like to walk down that aisle and just make my commitment tonight. Maybe the first time, or maybe renew myself in the Lord. We have that almost every week. Somebody will come down and whisper, I want to renew myself to the Lord. That's a good thing. We all need to renew ourselves. I've told you about a friend of mine. I'm closing with this. But I was able to witness to he and his wife, and he was an alcoholic, and she's a beautiful girl. He was a handsome guy, and this is back when he was first starting the church. I saw him here last year, sitting in the back. I don't know where he lives now. But they got saved, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit and had no such background at all and just got turned on to the Lord. And his job required that he ride with four other guys to Oklahoma. And they went right up 35, and they went right by a guy by the name of Bob Tilton. He had a big church in Dallas, and Bob was a friend of mine at that time. And he had big smokestacks that had been from some kind of a factory or something that had been there. And Bob rented his smokestacks. Way higher in this church. And when you drove up 35, it says, Jesus is Lord. And the biggest letter, it must have been 200 feet high. So this guy told me these four sinners and him were riding along in a car. And then one of them said, "That's a disgrace. I can't believe that as taxpaying Americans, we have to put up with that garbage. Read it every time you drive down this road." Said all four cursed and agreed with him. And finally, I said, "What about you?" He said, "I didn't say nothing." Finally, he said, "You know, you all are right." He said, "I just didn't have enough to say, Jesus is my Lord." He said, "It was the worst decision of my life." He said, "I missed that opportunity, and I'll never reclaim that one again." All of us have had those moments. It's time to get stronger than you've ever gotten before. It's time to esteem the reproach of Christ and say, "I want everybody to know. Yeah, I go down to that church. Yeah, I carry a Bible. Yeah, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Let everybody know." Because most people are going to mock you, but somebody's going to be saved by your testimony in Jesus' name. Becky's singing, "I'm Through." Anybody need to come? Give your life to Christ. Close proximity to His birthday. You need to come and give your life to Jesus. You need to come and read.